Blog Talk Radio.
In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling transmission for the next hour, and we will control all that is here. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box. You're in the night zone with the Calling Night.
Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to the very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered, written word. The complexity of universal understanding, wormholes, multi-dimensions, transcendental time shifting, spirit guides, ghosts, universal energy, metaphysical understandings. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of men to form a workforce, a slave world for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis. Structured flying craft. To date, there have been over 10,000 reported and documented crop circles throughout the world. While many still go unreported each year, the emergence of the phenomenon in the world media and the internet has allowed more information to be shared. TerraChat and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you. However, TerraChat reminds you,
keep your mental. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. I'll be with you for the next hour. For those of you who receive the feed through our affiliate networks down the line, we're glad you have stayed tuned after the news. And for our Blog Talk listeners, thank you for patiently waiting as we joined the network.
And this is the Night Zone. All background music and bumps heard on TerraChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
You are listening to
TerraChat
on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Paul Dale Roberts has become one of our residential spooky chasers. He and Chris Holly from Endless Journey get a great deal of satisfaction from scaring the daylights out of yours truly. With their written stories, presentations into Terror Chat, Paul Dale Roberts is well known in the paranormal community as a straight shooter, and Chris Holly's stories are almost legendary. Interview 101 tells us to make sure we know our guest, do our research, be somewhat knowledgeable of the subjects at hand, etc. Problem is, with such dynamic guests such as Paul Dale Roberts, Marshall Masters, Chris Hawley, Tim McKay, John Hogue, Dr. Ian O'Neill, paranormal groups from around the country, as well as an interesting industry chat with Kevin Smith from The Kevin Smith Show. Our guests wear many hats. Their zest for life and knowledge of the paranormal and future science feeds their intellectual engine with dynamic guests such as Paul and others. The best I can attempt to do as host is hold on tight and make for the coffee refill breaks as they should happen. My name is Colin Knight, and I am your host guest wrangler this evening. Tonight,
Haunted and Paranormal Investigations International
General Manager and Ghost Hunter Paul Dale Roberts. Right after this.
You are listening to TerraChat
on blogtalkradio.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in to TerraChat, thinking outside of the box. This is Colin Knight with the Night Zone. We appreciate you being here, but I tell you what, why don't you head up to the Blog Talk Radio website, www.blogtalkradio.com. Find the TerraChat page and mark as that your favorites. If you have not registered with blogtalkradio.com yet, now is the time to do so.
blogtalkradio.com. In the Night Zone with the Calling Knights.
And we'd like to welcome to the virtual studio tonight Lexi Largo from PalTalk.com and Pamela in Canada, who's become one of our resident virtual studio guests. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming to TerraChat tonight. We've got a fabulous show for you. As you heard by the startup, we have with us tonight Paul Dale Roberts. He is the general manager of and ghost hunter for the Haunted and Paranormal Investigation International. Good evening, Paul. Welcome back to TerraChat.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
I'm doing really, really good, sir. How have you been?
I've been doing great. In fact, three major doors have opened up for us. And I have to tell you because I'm excited about it, but Penn and Teller have a Showtime TV show, and right. It's called, and there's a bad word in it, but it's called Penn and Teller Bullshit. Okay, and what they try to do is debunk everything paranormal. So they're going to fly, they're going to go ahead and fly Shannon McCabe and myself out to the Mayan ruins in Mexico.
And absolutely they want us to fabulous.
Do, oh, yeah, it's great. And so they want us to go ahead and try to, you know, there's a lot of UFO sightings at the Mayan ruins. So we're going to use laser lights. We're going to use flashlights to try to signal UFOs over there during the nighttime. We're going to use dowsing rods to try to communicate with anything over there, any type of entity. We're going to use digital audio recorders to try to get EVPs and try to communicate with maybe a possible Mayan of the past. So, and of course, Penn and Teller will probably try to rip me a new one because they're going to try to debunk the 2012. Mythos of the
absolutely.
End of the world, or a new world order, or a new change in the world. So
absolutely.
And yeah, so I you know, I'm just going to go ahead and lay out the fact that the calendar does end at 2012, you know, and who's to say what will happen. So I'm
exactly.
not going to
Well, I tell you, Paul, I got to tell you, I've got a shot of the good stuff here, and I've got Valium standing by. I've set the temperature to a medium 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and I have a fan blowing just to keep enough air going in the room. So I've got all of my signals in place here to prevent you from making the hairs on my arms stand up, as you and Chris Holly are famous in doing. So I'm ready for you tonight, you see. I'm psyched. And the only thing that's freaking me out is the story you wrote regarding the Skinwalker Ranch.
The Skinwalker Ranch. It's a long road over there. So, you know, we had to make ourselves laugh. We turned up some music. We sang, you know, some songs all the way over to Skinwalker Ranch. But there was a huge thunderstorm. And driving up on those canyon roads and everything was just devastating. At any time, it was like I was driving like 5 miles per hour. At any time, I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and crash my car somewhere. It's just that bad. But
you're coming from California to Utah,
yeah, all
right?
Right, California to Utah. I had two investigators with me, Lisa Hanley and Chantel Reyes. And they did a remarkable job, and they wanted to go all the way with it. So we went all the way over to the Skinwalker Ranch, and we went to the Utah Basin. And there's paranormal activity throughout that whole basin, everything right. from a bulletproof wolf where, you know, the Gormans shot this wolf many times, and then they watched the wolf go into the snow, and its tracks disappeared. It faded into nothingness. So, and they've seen UFOs there. They've seen multicolored orbs. The NIDS, the National Institute of Discovery and Science, they did an 8-year investigation over there. They still own the ranch. And they claim that they saw a portal open which a being actually came out of the portal. And George Knapp, who's a reporter or anchorman for some affiliate station down in Nevada, said he saw a portal in which a being actually came out of the portal. Well,
I believe George Knapp also fills in for George over on Coast to Coast. He's out of Las Vegas, and I believe he has a radio show in Vegas. And he does crime reporting, and recently in the last 10, 15 years, I believe he's switched over to the paranormal and the unexplained. I think that's
right.
I think that's who you're talking about. Yeah, he's a nice guy, super great broadcaster too. And if he says he saw it, he saw it.
I believe so too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got more money than God. He knows. You know, he has no reason to come up with these statements. He's a very famous man in his own area, and you know. The man's as I said about you at the beginning of the show, Paul. You're a straight shooter. And you can sense a straight shooter, and Knapp is one of those shooters. So if he says he's seen it, he's seen it. So how long has this paranormal events been happening over at Skinwalker? Do we have any kind of history on it?
Well, it seems like the UT Indians have claimed that it's been a opening in the skies, the heavens, for the sky gods to come through and everything else. So it seems like it's been happening even before a white man actually set his foot into that land. So it's
right.
been going on for quite some time. And then also, too, they say that if you put your ear to the ground, you can hear machinery in the ground. So it's like there's rumor, because of all the UFOs that are seen over there, that there could be a UFO base underneath the ground, under the Utah Basin.
Or a military base under the basin.
Or maybe
we cannot rule out that 40-50% of what we're seeing in the skies could possibly be very advanced technology that has been back engineered or however acquired. We can never rule out that man is its own fate. I mean, you know, although I lean towards the fact that. That if we are the smartest beings in the universe, Paul, we're in real serious trouble.
Right. And also, too, who's not to say that the military is not in cahoots with possibly the Greys, because a lot of abductees, a lot of alien abductees actually say that they go into underground complex where they say, where they see military men working alongside the Greys. So
yes, there have been a lot of information floating over the internet of late military advanced technology, military tests, people from Area 51 now starting to whisper a little bit. And, you know, Marshall Masters, he's all over that. He has some great contacts. And, you know, the Kevin Smith Show, they do a fabulous, Alien Seeker News does a good job. You and Chris Holly over at Endless Journey, I mean, it's just the information is starting to come out, Paul. And the more that comes out, the more I realize how little we really did know.
Right, and here's the amazing, Chris Holly, she does get a lot of that good information out, and I'm really proud of her on that, too.
Yeah.
But everybody is really getting into the paranormal. Everybody's seeking answers. And what was really surprising not too long ago, I was actually contacted by Cartoon Network, of all people, a producer of Cartoon Network, and they're coming out with a TV show called After School Paranormal. And they said I'm on a short list as being one of the technical consultants. So I don't know who the other people they're interviewing, but they're one of the producers. And they said that two of the producers are involved in Destination Truth. And one of the producers is going to fly down to Sacramento and interview me, but they said I'm on a short list as a technical consultant. So it seems like even the kids, even children, are interested in the paranormal. Everybody wants the truth. Everybody wants to know what is going on out there.
Well, you know, I am quite sure, to be honest with you, Paul, that there are some people out there that are saying to themselves, what's the Skinwalker Ranch? What are they talking about? Because it may be the first time that they have heard the story of the Skinwalker Ranch and haven't got to your stories yet. So, you know, I'm glad we can educate them, and I'm getting thrown to a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Area. Warning, this is a restricted area. You are entering the Night Zone. To our blood-talk listeners out there, we're just rethinking with the network. Hang in there.
In the Night Zone with Caller Knight, and I have with me tonight Paul Dale Roberts, Haunted and Paranormal Investigations International General Manager and Ghost Hunter. So as I was saying before, I was thrown into a break there, Paul. I don't know exactly what happened, but Hans is not exactly cooperating tonight, so we'll watch ourselves, I guess. But as I was saying, you know, with Skinwalker, a lot of people are just starting to come on the bandwagon, just starting to try and get up to speed with all of the information that has been breaking over the last couple of years.
Right, and it seems like people are really, really starting to take notice to it. And, of course, I took notice to it a long time ago. It's like, okay, yeah. What's going on over there? I need to go over there. And when I went over there, you know, we set up the tent, and it was raining. There was lightning everywhere, and we were falling in the mud and everything else. And it was like a misadventure. But anyway, we had binoculars. We had we were doing recordings out there and everything else. We did hear a very strange animal sound, and it went something like, ee-wop-wop, ee-wop-wop. And so I listened to the recording, and the only thing is I couldn't put the recorder outside in the rain because I'll ruin it, so I had it in the tent. And all you can hear is the hard rain hitting the tent. So I couldn't get the animal recording. And I was talking to a zoologist, and they're not really sure what I heard or picked up. Well, I didn't actually pick it up on the recording, but I explained to them how the sound went, and they can't really identify what kind of animal that was, but it was so loud, I'm mystified at what it could be.
And this was while it's pouring rain. And you're in a forest type of a situation, or you're in an open field, or?
Yeah, we're out in the open field at the Utah Basin. And one of the incredible sights that we did see, because there was a lot of cloud covering, so we weren't able to see UFOs or anything like that. But I did see something that was very, very odd, but it's a scientific phenomenon of ball lightning. It was a huge explosion, like in the sky, and it was like in the form of a ball. And the only thing I could explain it as is ball lightning. I witnessed a scientific, you know, phenomenon called ball lightning, and I've never seen that in my whole life.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of it, and I know the scientific method of how it's created, but I've never actually seen it, but I have heard of it. But when you think about something crashing to Earth, regardless of what its shape, it will form a ball of heat intensity as it drags through the atmosphere. So, you know, even a huge piece of square metal would look like a ball as it, you know what I mean? Like, who knows what it was? Could have been a ship. Could have been an entry, a portal. I'm a firm believer that there's something with this dimensional thing. I don't know what it is. I'm not a scientist, but there's something with that.
And with the type of phenomenon it has out there, on the scientific level of it, with ball lightning, maybe perhaps somehow with ball lightning, with the strange weather patterns that is in the Utah Basin, that perhaps it gives it the chance to open up portals, you know, because of the electrical field that's in the atmosphere.
Yeah, it may be the perfect geographical surroundings. There may be graphite, there may be iron, there may be who knows what kind of metals in the earth around there, or the salt, or there may be anything that is causing some form of electrical charge. But there are definite spots around the world. I think that's a given. As you say, Penn and Teller flying you out to go look at the Mayan ruins. You know, and Penn and Teller have turned into debunkers more than anything else, which is unfortunate because I actually like those guys. I think they are funny, and I think they have great humor, and I love their style of magic. But the debunking show, you know, I think it's sensationalism. I don't think they'd ever go after a religion to debunk it, because you can't prove a religion. You can only go by your faith. So, you know, there are limits. But at the same time, I'm glad they chose you because you're a straight shooter. And, you know, you'll give them the straight scope. Just hope that, you know, your best bits are not left on the cutting room floor. But, you know, I think they're good people. They are good people.
Yeah. They are good people.
Yeah, they are.
And
what they should do is
do everything with a scientific approach. You know, look at just like Mythbusters. Okay, sure they do the debunking, but certain things they can't debunk, and they use scientific methods to do. And that's what Penn and Teller should do. And
however, the boys on Mythbusters, they must sign some pretty heavy waivers. Because much of what they do would never make it past occupational health and safety, or what do you call it down there, OSHA. It would never pass OSHA standards. So, you know, they must sign some pretty heavy waivers to get away with that stuff on Mythbuster.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you one more thing, Carl. We got another door that opened up for us on HPI. I have a comic book that I published back in 1996 called The Legendary Dark Silhouette, and this guy named Howard Nash, he's an independent filmmaker in New York.
Right.
Well, anyway, I signed a contract. They're going to make a movie out of it, right? But anyway, he has a movie called PJ with John Hurd and some guy from Stargate SG-1 and Star Trek. He's going to be in it, and some guy from The Sopranos is going to be in the movie. And Shannon and myself and Chris Grissom from HPI have been invited to the Hollywood premiere and Hollywood party of PJ. And so and we're going November. And guess what? Howard Nash is now interested in the paranormal, and he's going to be consulting with Chris, Shannon, and I about the HPI top 10 investigations.
You got to love it. Got to love it. And it is starting to open up, but you've had many years of hard slugging, Paul. So, you know, this isn't anything that nobody really expected of you and others to be able to break through, as Sarah Palin calls it, the glass ceiling. Well, the glass ceiling exists in many levels of many industries. And sometimes coming out of where the paranormal comes out of, you get the giggles and the sniggers, and people forget that there is some very solid evidence that investigators are finding that needs to be financially investigated.
Mm-hmm. And just like Skinwalker Ranch, there is something very mystifying about that place. There's just something in the atmosphere. There's something strange and odd about that place. So,
yeah.
You
remind me one of these days off air, because it'll take too long, but remind me to tell you the story regarding an old miner and a donkey who my crew used to meet on a frequent basis on an old logging trail in southern Alberta down by the Waterton Lakes National Park. A fabulous story. I'll tell you about that sometime. I'm getting waves and shakes and all kinds of things. I guess, you know, geez, these guys get all excited because they think I'm going to miss a break, Paul. And I'm not.
This is Terror Chat. You're in the night zone. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight. Background music and bumps heard on TerraChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
You are listening to TuraChat
on blogtalkradio.com.
Provided in the TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guest opinions or statements. You're in the mic zone with Colin Wright.
And in the mic zone with me tonight, of course, we have Paul Dale Roberts. He's bringing us some more of those fascinating stories. Paul, it's amazing some of the stuff that you do, sir. I am so impressed with the places that you get to and the people that you get to see. When you were in Utah, you hid some items. Do you want to kind of fill our audience in as to why you would drive from California to the Skinwalker Ranch and then, as you're leaving, hide items in the Utah landscape?
Oh, why did I drive from California to Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Basically, to seek out the truth, to find out what is going on at Skinwalker Ranch. But one thing is, though, Colin, was very unfortunate because the next day, one of the investigators was deathly sick from the storm. And her kids were calling me on my cell phone, and they wanted their mother back home. So it's
right.
Like...
Now, let me ask you this, Paul. Did you feel as you were battling your way there? Because you were literally... for a Californian, you were battling your way to the Skinwalker Ranch. Did you feel that there was a force or an energy that was trying to divert you?
How funny that you would say that, because I felt that. It's like, why on this day is there a storm? And the storm was almost like it was centered over at Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, there was rain and everything over at Salt Lake City, but it was even worse when we got to Skinwalker Ranch. That's where I was driving like 5 miles per hour. It was like something was keeping me from there. And then the next day, and then that's what I'm talking about with the misadventure, the next day, one of my investigators is deathly ill. I mean, it's like, wow, this whole thing has been shot, because I was planning to stay there maybe about 3 or 4 days, to really do a good investigation, and it's like, I got to go home. And it was like, it was horrible. It's something like was subverting.
Yeah, so somebody was trying to subvert you from fulfilling your investigation at that particular time. Was there any reason for that particular time that you decided to go there? Is it an anniversary of anything special, or is it a certain time of the year where there is a great deal of events, or was it just the timing of all investigators being able to make it?
It was a combination of both. It was timing for the investigators to actually go with me, but also, too, I had taken some days off because I was planning to go to New Orleans with Shannon, and that fell through, so I had to go somewhere. So I was looking on the map, and I was looking through my little book on Skinwalker, and I said, Skinwalker, here I come.
Yeah. So it was, it was a random chance that you chose that moment in time, which tells me that there was a combined effort, whether a universal power, a universal law, or something, that did not wish you there at that time.
It really seemed like that, and because at any point, I mean, we were like terrified getting over there. Because it seemed like at any time I can just go right over a canyon road or something like that and just lose my life, you know. So
yeah,
I was
coming through that Utah pass can be a little tricky. It really can, you know.
Right.
There's some great stories about that regarding the settlers as they headed west in that pass. A lot of dark history and a lot of real frontier action. You know, there was a couple of massacres through that pass, and that would be one of those areas that I would bet dollars to donuts that there would be some paranormal activity.
Yeah, and it was almost like somebody was playing the cosmic chessboard and was saying, hey, we don't want Paul Dale Roberts over here because he's going to write some kind of story, it's going to get out there, and a lot of people are waiting on the story on the Skinwalker Ranch. They were very disappointed that I couldn't stay up there 3 or 4 days.
Well, maybe it was the executives of one of the Alphabet networks that heard that you're going to be on Penn and Teller and didn't want you to have any more ammunition than you already had.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe he made the phone call to the Bush administration and had them crank up their weather machine that Alex Jones seems to claim that they have.
But I'll tell you one thing that's really good. I come back home, and we did an investigation at Sierra 2, and you probably saw the pictures, and we did an investigation at the De La Rosa residence in which it looks like we have full-body apparitions in the photographs. And
my God, Paul, I got to tell you, when the story came in, I read it, and normally I don't go to pictures or anything attached because I just don't have the time, but this particular time I did, and I go to the website and I have a look at this picture. And I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you let's try a little experiment here. Let's try this. Go to HPIParanormal, one word, .net. And go to their main page. And on their main page, you will see a picture by Kirsten Shelley of a ghost-like image that was taken by photography. Am I okay so far there, Paul? Do you think I'm fairly legitimate there?
Yeah, you're okay. Yes, and it was amazing what you were telling me, what you also saw in that photograph.
Exactly. Now, for those that have gone to the page, look at the photograph, but do not look at the figure in the background. Kind of allow your focus to come to the foreground. And what do you see? Because what I see is to the left of that dark figure, closer to the camera, is a figure of either a monk or a lady with a large hat, you know, and a bodice, with a bow in the back, holding her hands together in front of her chest. Now, maybe I'm just seeing something that isn't there, or am I? And that spooked me. That spooked me, Paul.
Wow. Yeah, and that's when I have a chance, I'm going to take a closer look too.
I'd say if you were looking at the photograph in realistic terms, she would be about 6 feet away from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
To give you the kind of the height understanding, and it scares the absolutely, you know, when I saw it, it's like, well, what about the second figure? I see the figure in the back coming around the corner of what looks like a corridor, but what about that first figure that's closer to the camera? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is just a little too freaky. And that is a fabulous picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that was taken where?
At the Sierra 2. It's a theater in a school in Sacramento. And then also too, Michelle Stump, another paranormal investigator, she took a picture of what looks like a shadow person at the De La Rosa residence in Natomas, and that is now on Alien Seeker News too. And it's an amazing photo. So, and there's no one was there to cast that shadow, and it was just kind of odd.
Things that make you go,
Oh, I know. There was an EVP.
Because you don't have the answer, and that's the most frustrating thing, Paul. I mean, it must be frustrating as an investigator, is that you know these things are there. You're seeing them. They're functioning, and yet they are so difficult to bring to the mainstream understanding of life. Why can we not accept that it is possible that there is some overlapping dimension, some time shift, or some residual haunting? Why can't we accept that is possible? Why is it so difficult for people to get their head around?
Well, and also, too, you just look at life on this planet. Life on this planet is amazing. I mean, how is it that we're able to walk around on our feet? How is it that we're able to do what we do and think and see and everything else and hear things? I mean, just in that in itself is paranormal. It's so hard to explain the origins of life. And if we can accept, you know, how life is on this planet, why can't we also accept that maybe there's multiple dimensions out there? There's a multiverse of various paranormal type activity of ghosts and poltergeists and UFOs and everything else. And we can't even say, you know, just that this Earth has the only life in the whole universe. I mean, there's probably seeds and seeds of planets that produce all kinds of life. There might be planets out there where just there's plant life. There's planets out there maybe it's insect and plant life, you know. I mean, it's just a multitude of just varieties of things that could be out in our universe.
So having a look at these photos, what would you say that you captured? What do you think that photograph captures?
Well, with three investigators standing in the hallway and not seeing a person down at the end of the hallway, and either, you know, you have to look at them. Okay, they're truthful. They're not lying. They're saying that there was nobody at the end of the hallway. But when they snap that picture, here they have a shadow of what looks like a person. And then a second picture was taken just seconds later, and there's no picture of a shadow of a person. So something had to make that shadow. And what made that shadow? They went down there to make sure there was no people around. There was nobody there. So what caused that shadow? And we've enhanced it. We've done everything with it. And we cannot come up with a solid answer as to what caused that shadow. And when you eliminate everything, the only thing you have left is the paranormal.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're right on the button there, and you've got
we all have busy lives and can't always be at the computer catching Terror Chat live. Thanks to blogtalkradio.com for making Terror Chat archive accessible. Come to Terror Chat on blogtalkradio.com and check out our show files. blogtalkradio.com.
You know, Hans, that's not very nice to drop those bombs on me when I don't realize we have an auto break coming up. You know, geez, I mean, give a guy a break, eh?
And we'll be right back right after this.
And as we head into the final 15 minutes with Paul Dale Roberts, So, Paul, the Skinwalker Ranch was a horrible experience, but I hope it hasn't put you off from wanting to do more of the Skinwalker. I've heard a lot about that through Coast to Coast, George Norrie, and I believe Art Bell is the one that originally kicked off that story, come to think about it, many, many moons ago. It's a fascinating area. But when you were in Utah, you left some items, and you secreted some items around the desert for a project that you were working on with a lady who believes she can astral project herself. Am I correct?
Correct. She can do. She said she can do remote viewing and astral project. And so I hid the items in a certain area. I took pictures of the area where the items were. And she gave me details where she thought the items were, but the only thing is she was off her mark. So she wasn't successful in doing it.
How far off the mark? Was there any similarities, or was it just a stab in the dark?
It was actually in an open field, and there was a certain sign that she should have been able to read if she did some remote viewing or astral projected.
Right.
And she didn't describe that. In fact, she was describing a building where she thought it was hidden at, and it was nowhere near a building.
Okay. So it is good, though, that, that the clarity is made, because One, it's going to save her a great deal of embarrassment further down the road, and two, it clears up the fact that we have to wait for the next person that has those abilities. Because I do believe that all abilities are possible. I think we all have some form of ability. We just haven't learned how to switch it on.
Oh yeah, and also too, there's a remote viewing. Why would the government be interested in that if it wasn't true? I believe remote viewing is very much a reality, and they actually have people in the government who actually are able to see things that are going on in the Middle East.
Yeah, and I think there is something, too, because the Russians have been at it, too. I mean, it's not just some fancy CIA mentality. This is some pretty serious stuff. I mean, they've had a great deal of success from all indications. So, you know, all things are possible. I think, you know, as Gene Roddenberry would say, God rest his soul, if you can think it, it can happen.
And maybe
if enough of us do think it, it will happen.
Right. Anything that's science fiction now can become science fact tomorrow.
Yeah. I hear now, I haven't got any firm defining word, but I hear that they have actually been working on replicators and transporters and the likes, that they can destroy to the molecular level and capture the print of an item. They're just having problem assembling it and defining whether that item is real, or is it just an absolute copy, very much like a photocopy, to its minute detail? Now, that would be freaky, wouldn't it? That would be freaky when you think about it. Every time you transport, you make a copy of yourself.
Right.
Wow.
And also, too, Colin, is like teleportation. I mean, that's very, very feasible because we're made up of atoms. And on the quantum level, we're pure energy. So why couldn't we teleport from one place to another? Our intelligence level is just not there yet. But at one point in time, somewhere in the future, we will be able to teleport.
Yeah, somebody told me some time ago that we could actually travel back in time if we had the energy source to do it. Because the energy that would be required is just something way out of our capacity. But on paper, theoretically, it would take this amount of energy to be able to go back in time. And, fascinating subjects when you think about it, Paul, that we know so very little about what our real reasoning for being here is.
Right. And also, to the time machine, wherever you create a time machine. So if I created a time machine in 1978, I should probably open up a portal that will take me from 2008 to 1978, because that's when the time machine was actually created.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. You know, and then you get into the quantum physics and then the dynamics and then the dimensional shifts and, you know, is time travel actually a dimensional shift, like a skipping time? I mean, there are a number of ways that you can go with it. And the reason I kind of bring this up, Paul, is because I notice a flavor in your stories that there's something there. There is a power. I won't say a being, but there is a power that does appear to be manipulating certain instances.
I think so too. I think that we're actually like being watched from a higher source, and everything that we do is planned. I mean, if it isn't your time to go yet, there's a reason why it's not your time to go. It's because something is watching over you, trying to make sure that you continue with whatever you got to do in life. And when you have a place of power or a place that where people are listening to you, like in your position as a radio host, you're putting the information out there. And somewhere, some person or some being is looking down at you and saying, Colin, we got to keep him around for a while because he's producing, you know, he's putting out the truth out there. He has a masses of people listening to him, and, you know, and he has a purpose. And certain people are kind of like washed over, I believe, you know, and we have a purpose. We have a mission in life, and we have to accomplish that mission.
I may be a very, very tiny cog in a massive machine, but I am just as equally as important as the biggest cog in the machine. Without me, it doesn't run. Without it, I don't run. And the sooner people realize there is a universal consciousness, it is in my best interest to make sure that Paul Dale Roberts is healthy and fine and doing what he does, as much as it is your interest that I am. It's a universal consciousness. Marshall Masters had talked about this on one of the shows we did regarding it's time to come with a different thinking. It's time to push away the word greed and start accepting the word understanding. That we're all here for a purpose. Whatever it is, we may never know. We may never have a clue that we're here. The Mayans. I mean, what a fascinating thing that you're going down there, you know, on Penn and Teller's bill. I mean, that's just perfect, because I think it will give you another level of understanding of what you do, Paul.
And that's what I'm hoping for. And who's to say that when we actually go down there, because there's a lot of UFO sightings around those Mayan ruins. It seems like the UFOs are interested in the Mayan ruins. They're interested in the ley lines that lead to the Mayan ruins, and maybe somehow it powers their ships or whatever. And hopefully, when we do the signaling, maybe we'll get something that is significant where Penn and Teller will look at it and go, "Okay, well, that was something," you know, and not just trying to make a joke out of it or whatever. Because I like the guy. And there's nothing wrong with debunking, and in fact, in my field, we try to debunk a lot of things. But certain things we cannot debunk, and if we can't debunk it, then admit the truth. Okay, I can't debunk it. I don't know what it is.
Right.
I
mean, there's enough of that out in the world, isn't it? You know, we have streams that run up the hill instead of downhill. We have, you know, compasses that go absolutely erratic in certain areas of the world. You know, there are things we just do not have our finger on. We'd like to think we do, but we just don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time to throw in the towel, and when you can't debunk something, then throw in the towel and say, "Hey, I don't know." Just say that. I mean, don't say, "Okay, that's definitely a ghost." Okay, if you don't really know if it's definitely a ghost, just say, "I don't know." And that's what I simply try to do. I say, "I don't know. I don't know what happened, you know.
And that's what Terror Chat's about. Is it's not up to me to prove or disprove information that my guests bring to me. It is up to me to bring it to the table and allow the listeners to make their decision as of whether there is some validity to what they're saying or not. And unfortunately, there's too much media out there that would like to crucify you for statements that you make or beliefs that you have. And there's too much of that. And there's not enough listening to the information. And, you know, too soon we get old and too late we get smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something my grandfather told me years ago. And Paul, we're coming down into the final 4 minutes. So what I would like to do here is regarding Christine Kelly and this photograph. Has this photograph been checked by any major laboratory or anything yet, in case there was something to the lens or something to the film? Has that been tested yet?
Yeah, it actually goes to a lot of websites where they have various people who make claim that they are photo experts. But our photo experts that have actually looked at the photo, they're having a hard time debunking it. And they have none of them have given any kind of good explanation of what it is. And either, you know, one photo expert says, well, maybe there was a person down in the hallway, and maybe the three investigators are telling them a lie. And my investigators are not going to lie about that. If they said there was nobody down the hallway, you know, they didn't conspire to create that photo. So so that's the best they can do, you know, is to say that maybe the investigators were lying. I mean,
it's like saying the pilot was at error because the plane fell out of the sky. If you notice, you know, whenever a plane goes down, it's a 95% bet that these government officials are going to come up with that, oh, well, the pilot made a mistake. He didn't pull this switch or turn that knob or whatever, you know, and it's an easy way to debunk so that you can continue with your business and not have to investigate it, you know. And it's unfortunate,
people like a simple explanation, you know. They want to be able to say, hey, yeah, there was someone standing at the hallway. They caused that shadow and they took the picture. And, you know, and that's what it was. But it's not that simple, okay? My three investigators went out there for the purpose of investigating, and that's what they came up with, and they didn't conspire to come up with that story and that picture. So, and they can't really debunk it, so, and they're photo experts, so I don't know. You know, so when you eliminate everything else, the only thing you have left is the paranormal.
Isn't that the truth? In the virtual studio, before we disappear here, we're into the final minute, but Deb, 6961, there is definitely an Indian with beige pants and a black shirt and braided hair. The Indian at the end of the hall is in the photo. We're less than 1 minute. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't believe this has been an hour. This is just not fair. It's just not right, my friend.
I know. That was a very fast hour, but it was very enjoyable, Colin. I always enjoy talking to you, and I thank you very much for having me on your program.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, sir. God bless you. You take care, and may those doors continue to open for you, sir.
Thank you so much, Colin. God bless you, too.
Good night. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's all. Another hour. My God, I don't believe it. We got to get out of here. Good night now.
Bye.